Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 483. You know, I just saw an evangelist on the program today on television saying, "You people still haven't learned to give tithes and offerings, and I bring 50 messages a year to you." And this is 2 years of messages. That's 100 messages. Well, I just want everybody to know out there that this is message number 483 on this new series of mine. I bring 365 messages on the radio every year. And we're up to 483 in just about 17 more messages. That'll be 10 years of messages is what that man does in 2 years. So I'm giving you 8 more years of messages than he is, and a lot of the TV evangelists as well. And on top of that, I write a lot of messages, and I'm giving out messages all day long because I'm a pastor. I just thought I'd let you know that because you're getting a lot of messages from this work that God has given me, and you should be thankful and praise the Lord because these messages are from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the person that was saying that is sort of bojive. He likes to joke around. You know, there's a lot of these ministers today are not only off base. I mean, they are bringing heresy, but a lot of them are fashioning themselves as though they are comedians. And, you know, some of them are very funny, but that isn't what the Lord called us to be, is comedians. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I have some Bible reading and a message, very powerful message from the Lord that will apply to your life. And I've got music and letters. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to bless, to anoint this program, number 483, to anoint me, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, anoint me. These are the very last hours of time, and people have become more and more wicked, and they think it's all right. And this message tonight, Father, that You've given me to bring to the world, shows people that, and the whole Bible shows that You are so offended at people that Your hatred, and You just, I know nobody brings these kind of messages. They want to hear smooth things, but Your wrath is being filled up to the top of Your cup of wrath, and right now You're bringing down condemnation on the earth. While the rest of these people are preaching glad tidings. No, people have taken Your word, which is Christ, and they have left Him and left You, left Your word, which is Christ. And now they've turned themselves against You, Your word, Your name, Christ. We see the Antichrist is on the move very strongly in this world today. And it's Antichrist, anti-God, anti-Christian. Anti the Word, which is God. Lord, anoint very much so that the people sitting in high places and the people sitting in low places and the people sitting in the medium places all receive Your Word as their God, so that their souls will be saved and the church strengthened and Satan be destroyed by Your word, the double-edged sword, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, a real good buddy of mine is Dallas Frazier, and he wrote the Baptism of Jesse Taylor, but he also, before we were saved, he wrote Alley-Oop and a lot of other hits. And Dallas got saved, and he's just he's become a recluse of some sort, and people don't hear from him that much anymore, with the exception of his songs. And so here's Johnny Russell. I've never played him much, but Johnny Russell does a fantastic job on singing Dallas Frazier's song, The Baptism of Jesse Taylor.
They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained the soul and Satan lost the good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. 'Cause this time he went under for the Lord. Among the local taverns, there'll be a slack in business. 'Cause Jesse's drinking came before the groceries and the rent. Among the local women, there'll be a slack in cheating. 'Cause Jesse won't be stepping out again. Scars on Jesse's knuckles, they were more than just expected. The county courthouse records tells all there is to tell. The pockets of the gamblers will soon miss Jesse's money, and the black eye of the law will soon be well. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained the soul and Satan lost the good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. But this time he went under for the Lord. From now on, Nancy Taylor can proudly speak to neighbors and tell them how much Jesse took up with little Jim. Now Jimmy's got a daddy, and Jesse's got a family, and Franklin County's got a lot more man. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained the soul, and Satan lost the good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. This time he went under for the Lord. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. Jesus gained the soul and Satan lost the good right arm. They all cried hallelujah when Jesse's head went under. This time he went under for the Lord. They baptized Jesse Taylor.
Is there such a place as Cedar Creek? I'm sure there is, and probably that's where my friend Dallas Frazier lives, up in the woods someplace around there. And he wrote a song, as I was mentioning before, he wrote a lot of hit songs before he got saved and I got saved. And one of them was Alley-Oop, and Gary Paxton was singing the lead. And there's a lot of my friends. H.B. Barnum played the piano, Bobby Ray played the saxophone. There's just all my friends were on that session. It hit number one. Dallas is a very good man. Okay, now we have some letters. Where's the first one from?
From Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, what do they say?
Mr. Alamo, I would like to thank you for what you write. I got one of your short stories from a young friend of mine here in the Tulsa area. He is starting to take some real hell for handing out your stories. But nonetheless, I thank him and you for doing what you do. And although I must keep what I know to be true inside of me due to the fact that I am a federal judge, I am glad to see that there are those who do not fear to do the right thing.
Well, you know, Judge, yeah, if I were you, I'd quit being a judge if you have to hold the truth inside, because we're going to be judged. You're going to be judged just like I am. I mean, I appreciate your letter, but we're going to be judged by the big judge upstairs. And he won't think kindly of you unless you start getting busy for the Lord. Okay, go ahead. What else?
Please keep supporting our young friend so that he may keep on doing what he is doing. I know that this town could really use him, as he lights fires all around us. He has already been a great help to the people in this town with his youth programs and crime prevention programs. For the record, what we did to you as a body of government was, in my opinion, uncalled for and a waste of federal time and money.
Not only uncalled for, Judge, it was sin. I mean, you don't persecute people that are of the Lord, that are really doing a job for God. Don't do that. I know you don't, but it was far more than what you say. Then what?
Godspeed to you, sir, from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, well, that's a federal judge, folks, and there's a lot of judges that feel the same way as he does. They need to come out in the open. You know, these Nicodemuses, God help them. Okay, what else do you have there?
From Lagos State, Nigeria. In fact, your ministries have been performing wonderfully. I have read many of your literatures, and it has made a wonderful change in my life. And this has made me to decide to be born again. Now I need a Bible to continue to uphold myself and to be meditating in it always. Signed, A. Olapapo from Lagos State, Nigeria.
Okay. Is that it?
And then there's the witness in line responses.
Okay, what are they, please?
A couple months ago, a prayer request was called in for a woman named Kim. She had a large lump that was very painful that the doctors were sure was cancer. She went in today for tests, and the lump was gone, and there were no signs of cancer. She thanks everyone for their prayers. Also, a pastor from India named Roger called to let us know that he had sent in a prayer request asking us to pray for his son who was hit by a train. He thanked everyone for their prayers and said his son is better and has nothing wrong with him. He was praising and thanking the Lord.
Yeah, that's really something. You know, we have hundreds of testimonials like that where people were really jacked up. Hit by a train, you know, and now the boy is doing good. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And people with tumors, I mean, they go away. It's just God. That's there's no other explanation for it. All right. Now we have, we're going to continue on. I believe it's chapter 9 in Revelation. All right, go ahead.
One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more
okay.
hereafter.
The angel flew over and says, woe. Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, okay? And so, one of the woes is over?
Yes.
Okay, and then what?
And behold, there come two woes more hereafter.
Okay, why is there woe on the earth? Anybody? Does God just put woe on this earth for nothing?
No.
Go ahead, then what?
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men.
And the destroy the third part of men, it says?
Yes.
Okay, mark that place there. Destroy how much of the men?
The third part.
The third of the population of the world, okay? Now, if there, say, is 9 billion people, that means 3 billion of them will be killed at one time. Now, why? Well, in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, the Lord said unto the children of Israel, and the Lord talks, and all of them heard then, and every one of the people in Israel at that time had heard from the Lord. Now, chapter, the first chapter, verse 41. They all had sinned before the Lord. Now, why is the Lord killing at one time one-third of the earth? Let's say if it's 9 billion people, 3 billion. There won't be a housing problem then, will there? Moses was telling them, quote, then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight. We'll do the things that according to all that the Lord our God commanded us to do. And when ye had girded on every man his weapon of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, Moses, tell them I say unto them, go not up. Don't you go up there. Neither fight, for I am not among you. Lest you be smitten before your enemies. This should be a lesson on how to use the sword of the word. Quote, and the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. Some happy people may say, quote, you have said enough to let us know how necessary a weapon this sword is, how it's very necessary to keep the Word of God. Because if you don't read the Word of God, you think that it's nothing, you put it beneath your feet, you don't value the Word of God, then God is going to start murdering you people, killing you for your murders. He's going to start killing you for your fornication, your adultery, your homosexuality, your lesbianism. And this is in the last days, and he's doing it today. And he's warning everybody with fires, floods, hail, tsunamis, diseases of every sort. And that's why he's doing it. Why would God, why would God take my boy? Why would God take my little daughter? Why would God do this? Because he tells you he will if you don't do what he says. And I know everybody thinks they're righteous. You can go down the street and ask people, do you believe that God is going to kill you, send your soul to hell? Not me, no, because I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Well, do you lie? Well, you know, I lie. Well, the Lord says that all the sacrifices that are good before the Lord have not one spot or blemish on them. If you're a liar, you will spend eternity in hell. Well, but I think I'm good. Well, that's why God's pouring out all these, going to kill 3 billion of you people. Well, you don't like that kind of a God. So what? You're going to have to face up to, you're going to have to stand before him. And he's the judge, and he has the power to throw you into hell and into the lake of fire. Well, then. So you happy people say, no, Tony, I brought now, this is 483 messages. I brought thousands of messages before this. This is just the series where the Lord told me to teach the people the Word of God, because the people in my church don't do it. The people in this church are lame, and just like so many other churches, they think that you can just go there on Sunday and on Wednesday at most churches. My church has been having services 8 times a week. Every evening at 8 o'clock we have services, and twice on Sunday, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And you're saying, you have said enough to us to know how necessary a weapon this sword, the Word of God, is to defend our soul. And of what admirable use it is in all the conflicts that the Christian has with any of his enemies. But I hope you will not leave me this way. I hope that you're not going to just say that and then walk away from this message, because I don't believe you. It is a word of counsel that I now listen to hear from you, how we poor Christians may wield and see this sword for our own defense. Why do I say for now? The reason I'm saying poor Christians is because without the sword, the Word of God, we poe. We really poe. Now, poor is one thing, but poe is something else. That's it. You haven't got a leg to stand on. You haven't got a Word of God to stand on. And the vanquishing of the several enemies, the destruction of the several enemies, whose approach, who approaches you, have alarmed me to expect. The Bible alarms us all to expect the reproach of all these enemies. And if we don't face up to these enemies, well, then God is going to destroy us. Because God said that anyone that doesn't hearken unto his word, then it's in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs that when the time comes for you to go out to meet God, you're going to be pleading and begging for him to save you and help you and not send your soul to hell. But he said, you didn't listen to my word when you were here on earth, and therefore I won't listen to you when you're crying out to me for mercy, because you showed no mercy to anyone. You hid the gospel just like the judge in Tulsa. You hid it from the people, and you thought that, well, this young man, that's a job for him to do. No, the Lord enlists all of us to fight a good fight and to finish the course. Amen?
Amen.
Some of them, we already, to our great terror, see in the field. I'm talking about, the Lord says that the field where we fight Satan, because that's where we fight the good fight of faith, the field is the world. Amen?
Amen.
So we see in the world against us all these great terrorists. We see in the world the field against us. And how soon the other may appear. I'm talking about the enemy. We don't know. We don't know when the enemy is going to appear, and that's why the Lord tells us to be ready, to be instant in and out of season, to prepare our spirits, our souls, and our body for war, to be able to not give up in the time of persecution. So, how soon? How soon? There's a song back in the 50s or 40s. It's, how soon will I be seeing you? How soon? I wish I only knew. But the devil doesn't tell you how soon it's going to be, does he?
No.
Huh? Because we don't know how soon he's going to appear. We know it not. You don't know everything, do you?
No.
Sometimes you go to bed very happy and you wake up and there's trouble in the morning. Amen?
Yeah.
And you never expected it. You say, oh, what a beautiful morning. You open up the shades and you walk out into the living room and here's some dreadful messages that have come your way. During the evening, Satan was working. And how soon? You didn't know, but here it is. So you don't know everything, do you? What will a sword by our side, a Bible in our hands, yea, in our mouth, do us any good, will it, if we be not instructed how we may ward off the enemy's blows and make them feel the impression of ours therewith? We have to let the enemy feel our sword. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're not girded for battle, if you're not ready for battle, then you had it. Because a lot of times you hear today that people are putting guns to people's heads and saying, recant, and you're not prepared spiritually. Your soul is shot because you've lived sumptuously off of the gospel, and you never prepared yourself. You're just, you know it all. And you feel that you'll be prepared at the time of the visitation from the devil, your enemy. Your request is reasonable, and for your better satisfaction, I will sort of sort out all the different many directions into several different branches, the different directions that Satan will attack you, okay? Is suited to the several kinds of enemies you and I have to rest or wrestle with or grapple with for their assaults being of a different nature. All of them do require a resistance suitable for the occasion to do their way of fighting. You know, if somebody's coming to you, so first of all, how we are to use the spiritual sword, the Word of God, against the persecutor. Secondly, against the heretic. Thirdly, against the army of lusts lodged within your own bosom. You've got an army of lusts lodged in your bosom. Everyone's bosom, really. Fourth, against the bands of afflictions from without, inward, from within, distress you. I'm going to begin with how to handle the persecutor. Now, would you, Christian, stand the shock of Satan's furious assault when he hangs out his bloody flag, breathing slaughter to the church and flock of Christ if they will not let him trample upon all their glory by defiling their conscience? If you don't gear up, you don't care whether the devil, Satan, comes in and tramples upon all the glory that God has given you by saving your soul, and he comes in to defile your consciences, and renouncing he wants you to renounce the faith at the lusts of his impish command, because he attacks suddenly without warning, you don't know. Then first, let it be your care to get the scriptures cleared in your mind. In other words, you have to study and put the scriptures together. Ground for those principles and practices which stir up the persecutor's rage against you. Improve or study these scriptures which teach us to dread God more and fear men less. If you don't have any fear of the Lord, that you dread and fear man, well, then you're in a lot of trouble. Now, this is the way to take care. You must improve your study. You must get to the scriptures which teach us to dread God more and fear man less. Third, be sure that you give up your lust to the sword, the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is Spirit and life. Before your life is in any danger from the sword of the persecutor. And fourth, fortify your faith on these promises, which have a special respect to persecution. You have to go into the Word of God and see what the others have done that have made it into the kingdom of heaven. Now, first, let it be your first care to get clear scripture grounds for those principles and practices of yours. which stir up the persecutor's rage. Oh my God, Tony, you stir up the persecutor's rage. You're stirring up the devil all over the place. Aren't you afraid that your life is going to be taken? Well, we have to be more fearful of doing what Satan wants us to do. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're to be more fearful of God than Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Fear not him who can take your life, but be fearful of him who can take your life and sling your soul into hell. But you don't want to read scriptures like that, and you don't want to hear preachers like that. Well, that's too bad, because one of these days you're going to be confronted. It could happen tonight, in the middle of the night. It could happen to you this morning, tomorrow morning. Could happen to you in a minute or an hour from now. A man had need be well assured of that which brings his life and dear enjoyments that go all away with it into Hazard. You've heard of the Dukes of Hazard. That doesn't even come close to this hazard. Most people don't realize how precious your soul is. Your soul. All right. It is enough to weaken the courage of a valiant man to fight in a midst when he cannot well discern his foes. I always say, make sure that you know who your enemy is. And that's why I point everybody to the Vatican, because they're telling everybody that Jim Jones said he's God. And another one says that this other person is saying they're God. They say, I say I'm God. I do not say I am God. The only one that I know that said, and neither did Jim Jones, and neither did the anyone else that I know of, except that Mexican in Florida and the Pope. The Pope will tell you, yes, I'm God. But we saw his body, his little pink body, laying in a casket. You will never see God laying in a casket, folks, okay? Me, you'll see laying in a casket maybe one of these days, unless the Lord just takes me up. The Lord took Sue and I up one time in Las Vegas. We're standing looking at this big column of clouds way up in the sky. He said, look at how beautiful those clouds are. And all of a sudden we were looking down. And it happened within a twinkling of an eye. There was no feeling of going up like you feel in an elevator. We were just there. We were looking down at the clouds. Well, it's just hard for you to visualize such a scene as that. But it happened. And since I've been telling of the supernatural experiences that I've had, I see a lot of people coming out of the closet and telling the different things that they've seen, because they said, well, they didn't hang Tony yet, so maybe we'll come out. Or they didn't put him in a nut house. These things that I have seen, I feel... and the Lord has told me to share them with everybody. So if you can't understand who your foes are, your enemies from his friends, well, we have to know who we're warring against. When these boxers like Mike Tyson go into the ring, or Klitschko, they have to know who they're fighting. Amen?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to get knocked onto their trunks. Okay? They're just going to go boom on the canvas, right? You got to not actually know for sure who you're fighting, right?
Right.
It isn't the guy in the corner with the bucket. All right? It's the guy that's got a pair of gloves on as well. And we have to know who we're warring against, because the war is real. Then to be a damp upon the Christian spirit. Oh, I don't want a wet blanket thrown over my spirit. In a suffering hour, if I be or you be not clear in your judgment. You wonder why. You keep wondering. Don't wonder why you're going through something. Figure it out from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And fixed. You have to be fixed in your principles that He is to suffer for who? For what? For the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Look, therefore, to put that out of question in your own thoughts, for which the persecutor calls you into question. Yeah, we had a newspaper reporter the other day call me, and he was telling our children, does Tony say he's God? First of all, I didn't want to do an interview with these newspaper people. I don't do interviews unless they're live, because what they do is they shut your voice off or they twist what you're saying. And this is one of the enemy's tactics, but you can't let it get you down. You have to know, you have to fear God more than these liars, these persecutors, because the persecutors can't do anything to you. So the persecutors call you into question. Are you God? If you say no, they'll say he said yes. Don't believe them, folks. Amen?
Amen.
I don't believe I'm God, or even closer. I didn't create the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. I didn't create you. I didn't create you devils. If I were God, I would have never created you. And I'm not saying that God was wrong, but God puts the bad against the good and the good against the bad. He wants to see who's really faithful, to see who's going to destroy these entire army of lust in their body. And those that believe that the kingdom of heaven is worth fighting for. And if he doesn't see you fighting, then you're not going to heaven, okay? He doesn't sympathize with somebody that has, they blink their eyes and they look sad. That doesn't mean anything to the Lord, all right? He's not going to be deceived by your phony looks or the way you act. Rather, because it ever was and still will be the policy of the persecutors to disfigure the beautiful faiths of those truths and practices for which the servants of Christ suffer, that they may put a color of justice upon their bloody cruelties and make the world believe they suffer as evildoers. That's what the newspapers want you to believe, that we suffered, that I went to prison because I'm an evildoer. But it wasn't. It was a trumped up thing. It was a railroad job. This is the devil's job, is to make us look evil, and for the politicians and the Pope and the President to look good. And they have, they want us to suffer and to make it look like we're suffering because we're evildoers, that God is cursing us. No, the Bible says that the devil is doing this. Now, you will never be able to bear up under the weight of this. Their heavy charge, their heavy false accusations against you, unless you be fully persuaded in your own consciences that you suffer for righteousness' sake. But if you stand clear in your own thoughts concerning your cause, you will easily wipe off the dirt they throw upon you, and sweetly entertain yourself with the comfort which your own conscience will bring to you through the reproaches of your enemies. It's such a sweet thing to, when you go into prison or they're going to put you to death, that you know your conscience is clear. You know you're going to heaven. But there's so many people that just take lightly the different, what they think are the small things in the Word of God that they don't keep. They lie. They think that's small. But no liar shall go to the kingdom of heaven. No kind of liar. What others say or think of us doesn't make me miserable, or wouldn't you? Why should I feel miserable when false accusations are given to me? I don't. I just feel, I'm just thanking, praise the Lord, that I'm worthy to suffer some of the persecutions that he's gone through. One's reproof from a man's own thoughts. Wounds. You're the one that destroys yourself if you believe the things that Satan is saying about you. But if they're true, your conscience is in bad shape. You won't be able to come back. Your own thoughts, wounds more than the reproaches do of all the world besides. I don't care how many things the people say about me, because my conscience is clear. I'm not at all concerned about it. Even if they take me to prison, is what these persecutors would like to do, and they would like to do the same to all of you, but be more fearful of God than you are man. When the Thessalonians were once satisfied of the certain truth of Paul's doctrine for the gospel, it is said, came to them in much assurance. Much assurance we have. Amen?
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 1:5. Can you get to that really quickly? The gospel came to them with much assurance, and that's what I'm trying to build up in you, beloved. Go ahead, read it. 1 Thessalonians 1:5.
For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So it came to you, but you can't just listen to it. You have to do it. Open their door with joy to receive it. Yeah, it came with much assurance, so they opened the door with joy to receive that gospel. Through affliction and persecutions came along with it. Verse 6. Number 2 is you must improve those scriptures which teach us to dread God more and fear man less. This is extremely important. When I say improve the scriptures, I mean get them into your spirit and keep them there. Improve them. Learn them more. Stack them up for the day of adversity. Every man is most loathsome to fall into his hands whom he fears most. They're more afraid to fall into the hands of those that you fear most. So that if God has once gained the superiority or the supremacy of your fear, in other words, if you fear him more than you will rather skip into the hottest fire because of a persecutor that a persecutor can make, rather than to make God your enemy. If you listen and are afraid of backsliders, weak people, and the world international government, then you make God your enemy. If you fear those that say things about your church or your pastor, or you just don't want to be around when everything gets blown up. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word, the psalmist David said in Psalm 119:161. Why, Saul was a king, and he was accusing him and wanting to kill him and throwing javelins at him. But the psalmist says that he stands in awe of God's word. He fears God. David, you know, that's why the whole duty of man is to fear God, not some man who has breath in his nose, some poor man, some wicked man. David had put, it seems, a man's wrath and that which God threatened in his word into the scales. Psalmist weighed them out in the scales. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, here's the fear of God over here, and here's the fear of man over here. And finding God's hand to be without comparison. The fear of God is without comparison. That's the whole duty of man. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. That's what we have to do to not be afraid of the adversary. The heavier hand of God humbles at that and ventures the worst that the other can do against him. So God's hand is more fearful, because I don't want God to be my enemy, okay? Man, you know, they can kill you, but God can kill you and throw your soul in hell. Amen?
Amen?
And if people don't have that written in their mind, in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, you're going to fall away if you haven't already. Okay, you have to just study the scriptures, and the scriptures will show you that. Therefore, we're reading. Therefore, is the scripture is so much expressing the power of man that we may not be scared or frightened at his big looks or threats in depressing the power of man and representing his utmost rage to be so contemptible and inconsiderable a thing. As one that knows who God is needs fear the worst he can do. The Bible says, quote, "Cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath." Or as it says in the King James Version, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherewith is he to be accounted of?" In other words, man is nothing compared to God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All the men in the world cannot frighten me because I fear God. And I'd rather die than to be fearful of man. Isaiah 2:22, you can find it right there. "Fear not them which kill the body," Jesus said, "but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And he will do it. That's Matthew 10:28. Now we go back to the scriptures where we wonder why God is murdering, actually killing because of their fear of man. He's going to kill 1/3 of the earth's population. And it may not be in all one lump because it might be disease. People that have disease in every part of the world. You can't run from his hand. He may be killing a couple of thousand people or 20,000 up in Montana, over in Wyoming another 20,000. And they don't even know why they're dying. Many of them say, "Let us be, starve us, don't give us water." That makes them even more sure that they're going into hell. You're not to tell people that they're to commit suicide or to help them. Because you're going there too. And those of you that commit abortions, first degree murder, where do you think you're going unless you repent? Okay, start reading again, please. Where are we at now?
Verse 16.
Of what chapter?
9.
In where?
Revelation.
Okay, yeah, let's make it clear. Then what?
"And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone."
Now let me tell you a little story about children. Children are afraid of some different kind of bugs that cannot hurt them. But they are able, they're not afraid to play with fire that will burn them. No less childish is it to be frightened into a sin by a sorry man who comes forth with a threat of dread and terror, but has no power to hurt us more than our own fear gives them. It's your own fear that gives you a fright to them. And to play with hellfire, which is much worse than children, into which God is able to cast us forever. Truly, this is to be scared with painted fire in the picture and not in the furnace, where it really hurts. It really burns, hurts and burns in hell, folks. What problem is it if your enemy puts a fool's cap on your head, so long as under it you have a helmet of peace, a helmet of hope, a helmet that shows you that you're saved and you know it and you stand on it. You don't let anything take you down, which they cannot take off. If that helmet is on you securely, no man can take it off. Amen?
Amen.
Or how much the nearer hell was, the same blessed martyr for the committing his soul to the devil. No nearer than some of their own wicked crew are to heaven for being sainted in the Pope's clutches and on his calendar. Some are anathema maranatha, to be doubly cursed, as Luther and other faithful servants of Christ, whom the Pope cursed. The Lutherans have become like the Pope now. But what does David say? Quote, "Let them curse, but bless thou me," Psalms 109:28. And I see that my time is up right now. So you don't want to be cursed, I don't believe. I pray that you're not going to want to be cursed. So the way to get all these curses off you is to say this prayer. Start out with this prayer to get your soul saved, and then listen to this program constantly so that you're able to receive the power and strength from God's Word to keep your soul saved until the time that you are in heaven. So say this prayer to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy." You want to be saved? Say it. "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit." I believe he did that, Father. Father, I open up the door of my heart and I invite Jesus into my heart with you, Father, and the Holy Spirit. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just keep praising and thanking the Lord for his word and the knowledge of the rightful dividing of it. Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of program number 483, which is CD or audio tape. They're both free, including postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for a continuation of this message. Here's the Kingsmen to sing for you, and J.D. Sumner was one of them, and one of the Blackwood brothers, and Jake Hess, and someone else, I can't remember the name, but this is called Wasted Years. If you're not serving the Lord, you're wasting your years, because you're going to stand before God whether you want to or not. Wasted Years, the Kingsmen.
Turn around.